Now, I'm hoping that if I do this, we're not going to get Malcolm blasting through at the same time. Might be interesting. The reason it's been so chaotic this morning is that somewhere in the council our booking had got lost, so we didn't actually get in here until half an hour later than we should have been. The silver lining to that is that they've said we'll get it as a free booking, so hey. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everyone here. Let me read to you. If you've got your Bibles, do follow this. This is from Matthew chapter 12. No, it isn't. It's Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and I'm reading from verse 2. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me." You may have seen in the Peoplesshire News a week or two ago an article about Linda Quinn, who works in Higgins Opticians on the High Street. And she's going to spend, or I think has now spent, a day doing some everyday tasks at home while wearing special glasses which simulate varying degrees of sight loss. So you might get something like that. And she was doing it to raise both awareness and money for RNIB Talking Books. Although she was obviously doing it from the perspective of physical sight loss, it just made me think how sometimes life itself can be a bit like that. Sometimes it is really hard to work out what's going on in life. We just can't see clearly what's happening. And this week and next week, this is very echoey, isn't it? Shall I turn this down a bit? Is that any better? This week and next week, we're going to have a mini-series called Puzzled. Puzzled, because a lot of things in life can leave us a wee bit puzzled. And to be honest, life itself, some of the time, is like trying to work out a puzzle, isn't it? In fact, think of it this way. A few weeks ago, I mentioned a jigsaw puzzle that we'd been given by some friends. This is a slightly less sophisticated one, but it'll do to serve the purposes of this illustration. For those of you who are puzzlers, I'd like you to think about how we might go about solving this, because you can approach this in lots of different ways. Some people, for example, might say, "Well, I'm a colour sorter. What I like to do is get all the blue pieces together first, and put them to one side, and then all the green pieces, because they'll be grass or whatever, and then all the red pieces, because they'll be something else, and then I've got all my pieces sorted into the different colours and I know where to go." Who's a colour sorter here? Oh yeah, well, okay. Other people might be edge people. They say, no, the right way to do this is you've got to find the edges first to your puzzle. Put those in place and then you can work inwards. Who's an edge person? Oh, a lot of overwhelming. Okay. How many of you would say, "Puzzles, forget that nonsense, I'm off to watch the rugby"? Yeah, at least one. Now, look at this. Have you ever recognized that when you're working on a puzzle, you might end up with this piece here, and you think, but this piece should go there, and it just doesn't fit, and you try turning it round, and it, no matter how you orient it, it just doesn't work, it doesn't make sense. And you try flipping it over and think, well, they obviously printed it the wrong way up, and that still doesn't work. And it's just incredibly frustrating. And if we're honest, a lot of us then end up just trying to force it in, no matter how it makes sense. But here's the thing. When you're trying to solve a puzzle, what do you need? What's the one thing that you need? Oh, a brain, that would help too. The picture, the lid, you need the picture on the lid. You've got to have the lid of the box because this helps make sense of all this. And the thing is, in life, we don't have this. God has this. We just have a bunch of these. And we're trying to make sense of this sometimes. Sometimes it's one piece we're trying to make sense of. And it can leave us just a wee bit puzzled. Let's take a look at the Bible here. The verse that's going to come up on the screen, I hope, yes, is from 1 Corinthians 13. Here's what Paul says. Now, everyone say now, we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, everyone say then, we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. And just to make sure we understand what Paul is trying to say here, when he uses that illustration of a mirror, in Roman times, they didn't have nice big mirrors made of silver glass like we do. They had pretty much all they had was small bits of metal, usually something like bronze. And so what you would see in a mirror is a very restricted, fuzzy, dark image. So Paul is saying, what we see now is like this dark, fuzzy image. But then, when the time of perfection comes, we will see everything clearly. Or to come back to the idea of our jigsaw puzzle, we have a now, a present reality, and we're looking forward to a then. Then we're going to know everything clearly. So, we get a load of these puzzle pieces that we begin to work through that are now. And we get pieces that we really maybe don't understand. And they might be trivial little things, like not being able to get into the hall on a Sunday morning. Or they might be serious things. Sheila's in a serious now puzzle this morning. We get these pieces that just don't seem to fit. This one might be, you've lost your job. You know, you thought this was going to be the career for the rest of your life. It was your dream job. It was going to provide for your family. Everything was going to be great. And all of a sudden, it's gone. You're in the now, and you're looking for the then. You're trying to understand what is going on. Or maybe this piece. This one. This is where you thought you were going to grow old and have a great long life and watch your grandchildren play and everything was going to be great. And then the doctor says, you've got cancer. And it's serious. And that's what you see now. And you're looking for the then. You're trying to understand what is going on. Or maybe this piece, when all you know now is that your marriage is spiraling out of control, has crashed and burned in a very nasty divorce maybe, and you're thinking, that's all I know now. That wasn't in the plan. That's not what I signed up for. I need to understand the then. Which creates a tension in our lives, doesn't it? A tension of how do we live in the now, trusting God for the then? How do we live in the now, trusting God for the then? Well, the answer for that is in the Bible. If you've still got that passage open in Matthew, just to turn back to it. This is the reading we heard earlier. The Bible says this. when John, who is in prison. Now, let's stop for a second. It's important that we establish which John it is that we're talking about here. This is actually John the Baptist. So let me give you some context. This is John the Baptist, who was the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy that had said, I'm going to send someone to prepare the way for the Lord, like a voice crying out in the wilderness. That's this John the Baptist. He was the fulfillment of that prophecy. It's the John the Baptist whose mother was Elizabeth. So you have Elizabeth, and then you have Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Elizabeth and Mary are cousins. So that makes John and Jesus second cousins, if you're keeping score. And one time when Mary and Elizabeth were both pregnant, Mary came to visit Elizabeth. And while in the womb, as he hears Mary's voice, John leaps in Elizabeth's womb for joy, just at the sound of his Savior's mother's voice. He knew he was in the presence of Jesus before he even drew a breath on the earth. Amazing. This is the John the Baptist who was out baptizing people in the Jordan, in the wilderness, and on seeing Jesus says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the John the Baptist who baptizes Jesus and the clouds part, and a dove comes down on Jesus, and he hears a voice from the cloud saying, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." Could we maybe think that John knows who Jesus is? I think it's a pretty fair assumption. So it's that John the Baptist that we're talking about. He's in prison, and then in verse 2, he heard about the deeds of the Messiah, that being Jesus. And he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" What? How can John say such a thing? Is he crazy? Did he just hear everything that we talked about? What's going on? It's because John's got one of these. He's living in the now. He's in prison and he's not getting out. And he's like, "Whoa, hold on. I mean, seriously, are you the Messiah, or are we supposed to wait for someone else?" And if we're being honest today, every single one of us has had moments like that, where we're thinking, "God, where are you in this? I don't understand this. I'm in the now. I need to understand, where are you? This just doesn't make any sense." And so John is saying, "Are you sure? Because this isn't what I was expecting. This isn't the plan I'd worked out. I was out in the wilderness out there, not in the wilderness Sheraton. It wasn't even a B&B. I was out wearing camel hair, and it was scratchy and nasty and ugly, and eating wild locusts and honey, all for you. And this is what I get. I didn't sign up for this. That wasn't what I thought the plan was." So you go and ask him, is he really the Messiah, or are we supposed to wait on somebody else? "I'm in the now," he says. So the disciples go. John's disciples go, and they ask Jesus, and Jesus replies in verse 4, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Now, this is one of those moments where all the Christians want to jump up and high-five each other and hands waving in the air in worship, because this is all good. Everyone loves this stuff. Because if we go back to our jigsaw puzzle metaphor over here, it's like, you know, how sometimes you're doing a puzzle and suddenly it all tunes in and you think, "Oh yeah, now that bit goes there and that goes there and that, oh, that fits there." And, you know, suddenly you're on a roll and it's all working. It's wonderful. We all love those times. Life is great when that happens. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing. Life is good. Life is great. I love it when everything makes sense. I'm sure you do too. When God is clearly demonstrating his power and his love and his grace. But then, Jesus says something that, as Erwin McManus described it was like a theological hiccup. He says this, Jesus says, go back and tell him all those things, and then tell him, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. What? Hold on a second. I like the part about the lame walking and the blind seeing and all that. But what do you mean, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me? You see, what Jesus is saying to John is, John, I am the Messiah when the blind eyes are opened. I'm the Messiah when the deaf hear. I'm the Messiah when the lame walk. And John, I'm the Messiah when you still stay in prison and ultimately die there. John didn't get out. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. In other words, Jesus was saying to John, John, there is a lot of good stuff, and yes, I'm the Messiah. And my sovereignty, John, doesn't depend on your circumstances. See, in our lives, sometimes we get pieces that we don't understand. But God's sovereignty doesn't depend on our circumstances. Jesus was saying to John, John, here is the deal. I know you've got some now that you don't like. Trust me, there is a then coming. And my goodness, this piece belongs right down here, and it's going to be amazing. And I'm doing something special. You just don't see it yet. And it's going to be good because I'm doing something, John. I'm doing something amazing. And you might not see it just yet. How do we live in the now and trust God for the then? I want to pause just for a second, and I want to talk about something that very often can trip up people who are learning to follow Jesus. And it's this. We find ourselves in this tension of the now waiting for the then. And we question, like John did. We question, are you the Messiah? Or are we supposed to wait on someone else? I thought it was supposed to be different when I made the decision to walk with you. I didn't really realize I was going to be in prison or whatever. And we question God. And the enemy, Satan, can come in, who is the father of lies and loves to steal and cheat and kill and destroy. Our enemy, Satan, can come in and whisper lies to you. He will say things like, see, look at you, oh, Mr. Super Christian, Mrs. Super Christian. Little trouble comes your way and all of a sudden you're ready to run. See, you question like that. And you know what? God doesn't want anything to do with you because you don't even have real faith. In fact, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't even be in this situation. That's what's going on for John as he questions Jesus. What does Jesus reply back to John? Look at this. In verse 11, I want you to see this. Jesus says about John, right in the very midst of his doubt, as John's disciples, are going back to tell him this, Jesus turns to the crowd and says, truly, I tell you, among those born of women, which is all of us, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Even in the midst of his doubt, Jesus affirms John and who he is because he loves John and he understands the tension of the now waiting for the then. And he loves John through it. Because you see, God is big enough for our questions. He's big enough for our doubts. He's big enough for the times when we are jumping up and down with excitement. And he's big enough for our little tantrums that we throw sometimes when things don't quite go our way and we're beating the table trying to get that piece to fit in. He's big enough. How do we live in the now, trusting God for the then? If you're taking notes, this is something that somebody once described as simply complicated. It's a simple truth, but it's really complicated to live by. And it's this, that in the doubts of today, in the doubts of today, we trust in his tomorrows. In the doubts of today, in the now, when things don't seem to make a lot of sense, we trust in his tomorrows. We see this in the Bible in Jeremiah 29. Very famous verse, very well known, when the Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." Now, that's good news. That's God that's got something special that he's doing. He's got some great plans for us, even though we don't see it now. Now, it feels a little bit puzzling. But then, he says, No, I've got a plan, and I'm working out something really great, really special. You just don't see it quite yet. Craig Groeschel is an American pastor some of you may have heard of, and he said something about this recently that I thought was really helpful. The phrase he used was this: our faith is in God, not in the outcomes that we want. Our faith is in God, not in the outcomes that we want. Because what we do when we're faced with a problem is we define the outcome that we're looking for. And we say, God, this is what you need to do. So let me give you an example. If a doctor said to me today, "Mr. Gray, you have cancer. It's terminal. You're going to die. You've probably got about a month to live." And then all of a sudden, later on, God has this voice audible moment with me. You know, it feels that real, and I hear God saying, "It's going to be okay." So what do I think? Well, I tell you what I think. I think, "I'm going to get healed. Hey, it's all going to be fine. I don't care what the doctors say. Don't care what happens, what the test results say. It doesn't matter because I'm getting healed," right? Hold on. That's not what God said. God just said, "It's going to be okay." And we say, no, God, you've got to heal me for it to be okay." God says, "No." See, God's sovereignty, again, does not depend on our circumstance and where we find ourselves. In the doubts of today, in those puzzling moments, we trust in his tomorrows. So our faith is not in the outcomes that we want. Our faith is in God. A few years ago, when I was wrestling with the frankly terrifying idea of going into pastoral ministry, one of the biggest concerns that I had, one of the biggest fears, was the prospect of people coming up to me in the middle of some appalling crisis and saying, "Why? Why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing this?" 5 years into my time as a pastor, I have to say that very rarely has anyone said anything like that to me. I am profoundly grateful for that, because I don't know why. I haven't a clue. I've seen some really exciting things happen to people and in situations. I've seen some awful things happen. I've heard stories that would make anyone weep. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But I do understand God's goodness. And I understand that even though sometimes we get these things that we don't like, even though I get things like that I don't like, even though that, my goodness, we serve a God who has got something bigger in mind. In fact, the Bible says he has got a plan for all of this. He's got a plan to give us a future and a hope. In fact, the Bible says that his thoughts, they are higher than ours. And his ways are higher than ours. In fact, God is taking all these little pieces of puzzle, some of them that we are great with and we love them, others are not so great. And he takes all of them and he works them out for the good of those who love him. In fact, what I know is that God holds the box top. And he is good. And he is loving. And I choose, in the doubts of today, to trust in his tomorrows. Why? Because you see, now we see imperfectly, like a puzzling reflection in a mirror. But then we're going to see everything perfectly, clearly. That then might come soon, might come years later, might come after all of us have drawn our last breaths. But there is a then coming. And God is working all things out for the good, all pieces for those who love him. How do we live in the now, trusting God for the then? We do it by, in the doubts and confusion of today, trusting in his tomorrows.